Have you ever been to Tucson lately to do shopping or simple errand? Traffic is simply insane. Parking is horrendous, especially if you go into all the way to the town, such as Park Place or the Tucson Mall. Finding a parking spot is like finding a gold. So you see that this lady coming out from the store with an armful of a shopping bag. So I was like, okay, she's going to get in the car, so that's going to be my spot. So you follow her very slowly. And she got into the car. So you park about a couple feet away from her car, and with a blinker on, that means you're marking that is my spot, so don't get in there. And she get in. You know what she does? Pull down the mirror visor and doing this, and you know, whatever that is, patting her face with that, and putting the lipstick on, and you're sitting there twiddling your thumb. Okay, lady, hurry up, do something. Get out of here so I can park my car. And to your total surprise, she put the visor up, get out of the car for more shopping. And then all of a sudden, people start to honk on from the back of you. Cannot win, right? One of the biggest activities during the Christmas season is gift giving. One problem with that is there seems like there are more people to give present to than what your wallet can do, how your wallet can stretch. So out of this dilemma, people came up with an ingenious idea. They received this present, and you're not kind of fond of it. So I thought, well, that person can use it better. So repackage that thing and pass it to the other person. You've done that before. Don't look at me like you never know that kind of thing. I've done that before. So come to think of it, you know, that present get passed around and go back to the original owner. And it's, this sure look like the one I gave it to so-and-so. There is a word, regifting. According to the encyclopedia, there is a definition for this regifting. Is the act of taking gift that has been received and giving it to somebody else, sometimes in guise of a new gift. Well, but there's a few etiquette to you follow, a few manners to follow. First one would be, at least rewrap the gift. Instead of keeping the gift as it was, rewrap the gift. Second thing is, not using the gift before regifting. Third thing is a very, very important. Do not give this to original owner, giver. However, consumer surveys indicate that many people, majority of people do this because they really think that this present can be used, can be appreciated by somebody else than themselves, or simply financial reason. When God sent his only begotten son, he sent his very best gift. Not second, he didn't send the archangel, but he sent his only begotten son to the mankind who desperately need a Messiah of hope and life. We are going to learn about the God's very gift, indescribable gift, Jesus Christ. Let's start with a prayer. Excuse me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, the indescribable gift, the precious gift to the mankind. We are most grateful for his sacrifice, his death and resurrection. Without him, we couldn't come to you and come to your throne and speak to you because we are sinful men. But you opened the doorway. You made the way to the throne of grace. By his mercy and grace and love, we can stand in your presence righteous and holy, by his righteousness and holiness, not our own. We are most grateful. During this crazy Christmas season, Let us not forget the reason for the season, Jesus Christ. And we also lift up our troops around the world who are away from their family, away from their homes, away from their friends. This is the only time for them. We're asking you to watch over them. We also lift up our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters around this community who are risking their lives for us every day. We ask you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn your Bible with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 7, please? Luke chapter 2, verse 7. It reads, "And she brought forth her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Jesus didn't come on a white horse as a conqueror of the earth and conquering our enemies and with his raw power. Jesus didn't come to earth as a brilliant scholar of the Jerusalem Pharisee Institute to show us, to give us insight of the life we are living on. Jesus didn't come to the world as a smooth politician who promised everything yet fulfilling nothing, and to say, to make this King Herod or Caesar Augustus to pay homage to him. He didn't come to the earth as a savvy financial whiz to give us financial security and give us everything, meet all of our physical need. But he came in tiny, crude package, human baby. He was not born in a golden crib in a king's palace in Jerusalem, but he was born in a manger, animal's manger, that was stained with the animal's saliva. Not even in the palace, but in the cold cave stable. Jesus Christ took the place in the manger so that we may have a home in heaven. Savior was not wrapped in a satin sheet, but rather he was wrapped in a swaddling cloth that was for the dead man. There in the manger resting in the greatest gift of mankind in the plainest wrapping material. His birth seemed so insignificant to the people around in Bethlehem, the shepherd who received the message from the angels had to look for him. There was no neon sign like us, or the glowing color of light like we see in the nativity scene. It did not have that kind of fancy look. You know, have you ever seen any nativity scene as a smelly of like a stable or the dirty? No, it's always clean and beautiful. It was not like that. God's gift to enemy, that's what it is. Let's go to Romans chapter 5, verse 8, please. A few books behind the book of Luke. Right after the book of Acts, before the 1 Corinthians. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. If you're like me, we usually don't give our Christmas present to our enemies. I don't think in my recollection I've never sent any Christmas gift to the Taliban people or the Iraq insurgent. No, you would send a Christmas gift to the neighbor who irritates you with a nasty word, or his yelping dog who barks all night, all day, and seems like the neighbor doesn't care, but you do because it bothers you. Or you don't give a gift to the thief who stole your car stereo last month. But when God sent his ultimate gift, Jesus Christ, to us, we were still sinners to him. We were still enemies to him. We did nothing whatsoever to deserve or merit this gift. In fact, we are still against him. What we really need is deserve is judgment, because we all have sinned against God without an exception. And some of you think that you are, I'm a good person. Yes, you're a good person. No doubt about that. However, have you ever lied? And if you say, I never lied, guess what? You just lied. And have you ever thought any bad thing about somebody? And in your heart, you just murdered that person. All of a sudden, you're qualified to be a sinner. And you are born with a sinful nature. That means you fit with the rest of us, sinners. With our righteousness, we cannot approach to God. With our unholiness, we cannot approach the holy God. And Jesus came as a gift to build that bridge between the two of us. All of us are deliberately crossed that line. An amazing truth of Christmas is, in spite of our sin, God sent his Son to us. That is not an afterthought. It was not an afterthought gift. Let's go to the Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, please. Revelation is way in the back, chapter 13. By the way, don't say Revelations. It's a revelation, singular. Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life of Lamb, note the word Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Sometimes we forget to give gift to somebody. And we just completely blanked out. Or somebody give you the gift, a really nice gift, and you scramble to return the gift to that person. But the gift of God is not an afterthought. Long before there was a stable, long before Adam and Eve was in Garden of Eden, long before the creation of the universe, God decided to send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us on the cross for our sins. From before the beginning, and you may say, how that is possible before the beginning? Well, we are living in the fourth dimension, that including timeline. However, God is not living in the fourth dimension. He lives in the fifth dimension above the timeline. To him, there's no time limit. So that is before our concept of beginning. God knew that mankind will fall short of the glory of God. So he made a decision very moment that he would send his Son to die for us. That is God's gift, and his purpose is to build a bridge, to bring mankind to himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came near to us so we can be near to him. Christmas is not about the tinsel on the tree or the Christmas present under the Christmas tree. But rather, it is about God's gift on the tree that where he died for us. And giving us the gift of eternal life, that is what he has accomplished, that is what the Christmas is all about. Don't ever think that Christmas is a giving gift, exchanging gift, and a Christmas card, and the shopping, and hustle and bustle, eating more. It's more than that. It's celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ who died for our sin. Don't let anyone try to brainwash you that it is just another holiday. The gift we receive is forever from him. How many times do you receive a Christmas gift, a present, only to think that, yike, because they meant well, but that you get is not something what you want. So in the presence of them, so you have to say something nice. You're trying to come up with some really nice word about that gift. So you say, oh, you shouldn't have, or I really don't deserve. You meant it, right? And that's the when you're thinking about how can I give this to somebody else. But the gift from Father in heaven is much different. Jesus Christ himself is the gift. He came to us to set us free from the bondage of Satan and the death. Because there is no other way. Remember when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. If there is any other way, let this cup pass by me. Because there is no other way, Jesus died on the cross for us. You can say, you can believe what Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way. That means there's only way. That means also that you cannot come up with a plan B. So if you ever think that you can make your way to heaven, you're thinking wrong things. If somebody ever tells you there's another way, that person is giving you heresy. Let's go to Jeremiah 31, verse 3, please. Jeremiah 31, verse 3. You there yet? Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with a loving kindness, I have drawn you. God did not create us because he was lonely. Fact of the matter, God is independent from us, from humankind. In other words, God does not need us, nor he needs anything, period. He can do just fine without us, to our surprise. We need each other. That's how we were made. But God chose to create us. He did not create humanity because he had to, but rather he chose to. He chose to make us, and he chooses to love us. The love of humankind has a time limit. Love between the husband and wife, love between the boyfriend and girlfriend, love between the parents and children. Or love between the good friends. They all have a time limit. Because those people will die eventually. Or some people will discard love and they will look for somebody else or something else, job or whatever. You fill in the blank. However, God's love is eternal. God loves you so much that he gave his life. Do you find any other guy who would do that? There's no other God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, please. Verse 1. Matthew, it would be the first book of the New Testament. So since we received the gift from him, should we give him something? I think that would be a good thing, the polite thing, for us to give him something. Verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem and saying, where is he who has born king of the Jews? And for we have seen his stars in the east and have come to worship him. And move down to the verse 9, please. When they heard the king, that would be King Herod, they departed, this is the wise men. Behold, the stars which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then, being divinely warned in dreams, that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. This wise man brought the gift, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Those two, first two, not a problem, but the myrrh is rather different thing. What is the myrrh? It's the kind of perfume that you would put it on the dead body. Why do they bring the gift for the element of burial, embalming? It seems like out of line and for the baby, child. I believe that the wise man had insight about Jesus Christ. First of all, gold is good, proper gift for the king. Frankincense is for the high priest who, I guess, is the ointment that would the high priest was used when he went into the temple to represent people to God. They gave him myrrh because they recognized that this king would die for the world. Three important gifts. What can we give to God on this Christmas? What can we give to one who has everything, and if he needs anything, he can create a whole lot better than we can? What can we give to him who has everything? That would be our heart, our obedient heart. As a brand new year coming along in a few days, I suggest you make yourself brand new year resolution. Not talking about how to slim off that tummy around you, or adding more bicep or chest muscle or anything like that, or coming up with a brand new Camaro. More than that, how about obedient heart to God? Be a man and woman God wants you to be. You may say, well, I will give my life and my heart to you, God. And I will give you my talent that you gave it to me. Or I'll give you the ability as you enable me. Or I will give you my weakness so that I may depend on you all the time. And he will take it, and he will multiply it, and he will magnify himself, and he will exalt you. God wants your obedient heart for him more than anything else. We cannot have an obedient heart God wants if we compromise principle and precept of the Bible. We cannot just make our own rules and own things as we go along and expect that God would be pleased with our lives. I heard from the person who chose to live her life as she wants. She told me that. That's not how I interpret the Bible. I say, guess what, genius? I don't care how you interpret the Bible. Bible says very clearly how we should live. It's a black and white. There's no gray line in the Bible. God says live holy and righteous. That means what it means. God says what he means, and God means what he says. Folks, we cannot make our own rules and regulations and expect that God to go along with our rules, then he is not God. He is our slave. Let's be like this wise man who worshipped him and gave him praise and adoration. Because in result, you'll be glad. If you follow God the way he said, the way he tells us how to live according to this Bible, you will be happy. You may not be a popular person in your workplace, around your neighbor, but you will be happy with God. Does it matter what your coworker or your neighbors think, or your family think? Or does it matter what God thinks about you? Which one is more important? Let's move to the chapter 4 in the book of John, verse 19. Chapter 4, verse 19. Jesus is meeting a Samaritan woman here at the well. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our father worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither worship on this mountain nor in Jerusalem and worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews, but the hour is coming." Oops, I lost the line. And now, when the true worshiper will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Move down to the verse 39, please. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritan had come to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, "Now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." Once we receive Jesus Christ into our heart, like this woman did, a Samaritan woman, and we cannot hog this wonderful gift to ourselves. So we like to share the Word of God. 1987, my tax accountant told me about Jesus Christ. And he invited me to the breakfast for the Christian Businessmen's Association, CBMC committee, I guess. And he invited me, and he asked me to come and join that group. I went there with a Bible in my hands that my wife gave to me. And I couldn't tell from one thing to another. It was a King James. And I went there and sat there and listened to the people's prayer. And they had something that I did not have. They had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Before then, I thought I was righteous. Before then, I thought I was a good person. Since I didn't kill anyone, I didn't rob anybody, I was a good person. Then I realized I did not have Jesus in my heart. That was the turning point. I got saved. Those people invited me, especially my tax accountant invited me because he had that gift, indescribable gift, Jesus Christ is in his heart, and he wanted to share that with somebody else. So let your life be a beautiful wrapping paper of this wonderful gift of God. In other words, I suggest you to re-gift, repackage with your testimony that regift that Jesus Christ to someone else. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 5, please. 15, please. And some of you are thinking that, well, that's not my job. That's why you get paid. You're a pastor. You can talk about that kind of thing. I don't know how. Folks, it's not just a pastor and evangelist's job. It's everyone else's job. It's your job. In your bulletin, do you have a bulletin? If you don't know how to lead people, there's four lines. How to lead a person. Very simple fact. Use that. Tell them about how Jesus Christ said, changed your life. And point them to the cross. God will surprise you and bring it to your remembrance about the verses you thought you didn't know. But He will bring it to your remembrance. You may not know exactly where those verses are coming from, but you can quote it. You can explain to those people. Verse 15, chapter 9 in 2 Corinthians. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, that is Jesus Christ. So, repackage it, rewrap it with your personal testimony, and pass it to somebody else. You'll be surprised how much blessing you will give to that person. However, that gift is not a gift unless you give it with a sincere heart. Don't look down on other people who are the lost sinners. They might be the lost sinners, but they are not fools. If you do that with a sincere heart because you love them, they will see it and they will take it. But if you do it because with a scornful heart, they will not take it well. Let's make an application. Number one, let's be like this wise man who worshiped Jesus and let's give our lives to Him. We'll be glad that we did, and because we cannot never outgive God. Second application is that with Christmas just 2 days away, begin to prepare your heart for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Meditate on the fact that Jesus was born to die that we might live. Born to die. I remember that some Vietnam veterans who used to wear the helmet on the side of their helmet, born to kill. Guess what? Our Jesus was born to die so that we may live. This is the gift God extended to us. Listen now, please. This is very important. Many people nowadays, it's hard to find anyone who says Merry Christmas because they all want to say Happy Holidays to be politically correct. Forget about being politically correct, but be godly correct. Say Merry Christmas. All right? Merry Christmas to you guys. Let's stand up and pray.